In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Come on!
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I wish everybody could always see and feel the story behind the story with what happens here at 95.7 The Game as things unfold. But Director of Sports Lucas Alexander, who is a USC honk, so he gets very, very excited when, people like Sean Salisbury are ready to come on. But then again, at the same time, he has spent the majority of the day expressing some sort of pessimism because Sean, I hope it's okay, Sean, that we bring people behind the curtain a little bit. Sean deals with like a lot of storms that come through where you live in Texas, and seemingly they only really hit when like whoever's the god of weather knows that you're about to come on our show. And right?
It's fascinating, dude. And just if it hits, I'm in the Fulshear, Katy area, which I'm the outskirts of Katy, Texas, which is in Fulshear, and it's still place things are going up. We got like one cell tower. I mean, for all that, there's like the biggest school system on the planet is here, and so it is absolutely nuts trying to keep up. If the wind blows 8 miles an hour, I'm not going to see your face on the internet or anything when we're doing a show. So, yeah. And it's inevitable. It's like it knows when I'm doing media stuff. Let's just screw with Sean. But fortunately, we're getting this in, and I hope it sounds clear. But, it finds my house, and I'm in the path of everything. It just seems like, let's go screw with Sean and his interviews and his career.
So no, but
hopefully you guys can hear me. Okay.
You sound great. You sound clear as a bell, like you're sitting right next to us. And I'm going to take some credit because I'm an optimistic person. And all day, I'm like, no, it's gonna be fine. And Sean, I think this is gonna work.
Maybe our best one ever. How's that? We'll battle the storm with the storm, and this is it, buddy. I got you.
That's a high bar, but let's try. Here we go. One of our favorites right here on the River Islands guest line, Sean Salisbury joining us on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Dibs is out, so you just got me, Sean, so let's hang for a little bit. The obvious first thing, what is your reaction to the contractual holdout offseason that the 49ers have experienced?
Can be a distraction. I've always told people in my career now and in any part, and when you're a player, when you go through guys that are talking about holding out or stars that you need that are holding out, is I don't get in their wallet. Never have. Who is it for me? Or most players don't, in truth, Mark. They stay out when it comes to the wallet part. Now, they want their best players there. They want their guys there. But we usually, when it comes to that, especially in these situations, you usually stay out of them. Wish the player well, but need him as well. Now, if this was in the middle of a season and you decided not to show up and you said, like in college, when guys are holding out of bowl games and did something like that where it affected the team or you bailed on them, how's that? It would be different. People don't consider holdouts in training camp bailing on somebody. At least the players don't. So it's been interesting this offseason, but Ayuk got paid. Sometimes these so-called distractions, because players – in the locker room deal with this stuff better than probably fans and media do, because we're frenzied. What's going to happen? Is Ayuk going to be there? What's going on with Trent? But when they are actually the players, it's not that big a distraction until the game of the week of the game, you're opening, or a week of getting ready to play, and you don't have your best player on the offensive line there. That's when it becomes our wide receiver who will be there. So that's when it becomes the distraction. During training camp, you hope you trust veterans to get themselves right. And with Brandon, and now in the case of Trent or anywhere else in the league, you hope they come in ready to go. So I don't think the distraction leading up to this is that big a deal because they got theirs, but it will be a bigger distraction if it continues to linger and he stays out.
Okay, Sean, what about ramp up? In other words, I know Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk have worked together now for a couple of seasons, but you were a quarterback. If you didn't get to work with one of your top receivers until the week of a game as a season started, is that enough time?
Doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't. I'm going to tell you why. It's like if you're in the seventh grade or a ninth grader learning new guys, a curl's a curl's a curl. You know, you may miss one, but when a guy's running a curl, you know, it's like riding that bike. You don't forget how Ayuk ran dig routes and comebacks and shallow crossers and how Brock throws and understands the timing. It may take him a few catches during the week to get ready. I'm not concerned about their in-game. Well, does he trust him running a 15-yard in-cut? That's not a big deal. I'm more concerned. It's like even during the season, people say, quarterback receivers, you guys got to be on the same page. Of course you do, but that curl's a curl's a curl. I'm always more concerned with the continuity of like an offensive line if Trent holds out. That, with those five guys up front, you want so much continuity to know left talking to right, right guard talking with center, those things. And also with the big fellas, always what kind of conditioned are they in? What kind of condition? Because you're not conditioned, and football condition is different than running on a track. You go in there and the hammy hurts, and then you miss 2 weeks because it's hanging around. So I'm more concerned about that continuity. I am not 1 ounce concerned about when a receiver comes in later, a quarterback, if that camaraderie works. The whole offense may be timing-wise, but not the one-on-one stuff that means, you know, Ayuk running routes and Brock knowing where to throw it. That's the simple fix and doesn't take but a practice in my mind.
Okay, and what about the 49ers side of this? This is the third offseason in a row where there's been some sort of a prickly holdout or contractual conversation, and now next year, guess what? They get to do their quarterback.
Right. So we've had Debo, Ayuk,
then Bosa, now Ayuk slash Trent,
and Trent,
and then
yep.
and now your quarterback is due.
Brock Purdy. Yeah. Well, one thing I think we would all say is, can we get out in front of this and start earlier so we don't have to deal with it? But you know, they've had tremendous, meaning the 49ers, but they've had tremendous success getting it done and making sure those guys are happy. Listen. It's like I always laugh during like when the mediation for baseball players or when you're negotiating, everybody wants to tell you what you don't bring to the table. We're not going to pay you this. And the player wants more to tell you what he brings to the table. And, you know, the negotiation, you got the agent in the middle coming back and telling you what's going on. And everybody's mad. And they're saying too much and not enough. And then when it's over, everybody hugs and it's good to go. Got paid. So you're hoping that happens. But there is that point of breaking point where it gets to where you either got to trade them, you either got to sign them, you either got to overpay them, or they come in disgruntled. But most players I know, when they come in, when they finally do get paid, they understand the ego part and playing their type of game for themselves and for the team. So I don't think that's a big issue. But, yeah, the 49ers, I don't know what's next. You know, with Brock Purdy, that's going to be big money if he continues to play like he has the first two seasons. And that one you probably have to get out. Quarterbacks at some point, I believe, Mark, I think they should be salary cap separate. I do. Just off the beaten path here. So at some point in time, we're going to have quarterbacks are going to have their own salary. You can pay them what you want. They're going to be the outlier, and then the salary cap dealing with the team. But in the case of the 49ers, that's obviously not going to be the case. Get out in front of it early because you do need your quarterback in camp. That's what you do need. And you don't want to have to face that a year from now.
Sean Salisbury with us on 95.7 The Game. I want to reiterate, Sean, you sound great. Absolutely.
Thanks,
killing
buddy.
It. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Back to it. Actually, can we do that quick aside with the idea of quarterbacks being salary cap separate? Because if that were to happen, wouldn't that kind of take away the advantage of nailing a draft pick with a young quarterback?
Sure. But you know what? You also want to keep your star. I mean, when you say take advantage of nailing, when you go out and get a seven, you mean like a seventh rounder or a guy you've groomed? What part are you talking about?
Either way. Like, even if Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are awesome, those two teams have a little built-in advantage for 4 years while other teams are doing $55 million per year, you know?
Well, yeah, and that's just the luck of the draw. But remember, why were they picking Caleb and Jaden?
Because they're terrible.
They're right. So, and it also helps the lower teams become better and stay better longer. So I actually think it would create more parity. And what you wouldn't see, quarterback, that's like the guarantee. If you've got your star, like the Cowboys are going to face with Prescott, the 49ers are going to face with Purdy with their contracts, and so on, is if you have your star, you're going to say, listen, that now, and you have the floor and the ceiling on what you can spend on the rest of the players. But if you have that, it gives everybody else a fighting chance where, okay, if you've got a quarterback and you're battling on the salary cap, it gives everybody else a fighting chance to catch back up. And money-wise, if you got their quarterback and you're dealing with your salary cap, you can all spend the same in the cap. And if they're paying their quarterback $55 million and you're not paying him yet, it is an advantage, but you got the disadvantage because you obviously lost out and we're picking too high. So I think at some point we're going to address the quarterback position and salary cap and the way to approach it. And I actually think it'll be more of a great equalizer than a bummer for the teams that aren't very good.
Sean Salisbury with us on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Hey, speaking of Caleb and Jaden, you all in on both, on one, on neither? What are your thoughts?
I'm in heavy on both, and for different reasons. Those were the two best players, obviously, Caleb the last 2 years, and Jaden deserved the Heisman last year, and they both incredible skill set. I was so impressed with Jaden Daniels, Mark, and the way he, from the first year he got with Brian Kelly to last year, the transformation in his deep ball game, the intermediate to deep, and taking shots. I watch every one of their games because I go on in New Orleans, and he was afraid almost to take deep shots the first year with Brian Kelly. Well, he transformed himself, and you saw what they did, and he played great. I love his feet. I love his ability to layer the football. So he's good, and he can play in structure as well, which is impressive and important at the next level, which he's about to face. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of his, and I like his attitude. And with Caleb, listen, regardless of how people have viewed his leadership with the way he dresses or painting the nails, that stuff doesn't matter to me, especially if you win. But you do have to be able to deal with the fellas and some laughs in the locker room and self-deprecating. But I know this, for two straight years, if you combine both those years, there was no better player in college football. And when people talk about, well, I don't like him, what don't you like? The guy made every single play on a team. He'd have to score 44 and they'd give up 48. I mean, he had to literally make every play and be a hero. If he wasn't, SC wasn't winning because they don't play any defense there the last couple of years. So for me, it's how good will he be if he has to stay on schedule all the time. But you want to talk about dynamic playmaker, off schedule, on schedule, accurate, powerful arm. The guy's just got great football IQ too. So I expect big things from both, but it'll also be the guys around him. Who's going to, what are those guys going to elevate? Because both these guys are going to go through some rookie slumps, but they're also going to have the ability with their skill set to leave you with your jaw hanging down and the wow factor and to elevate the guys around them. That's another thing. Who's going to make the other guys better? I think both did in college at times, other than the defensive side for SC. But I expect both to be good. I think Caleb's going to have to become more of a structured player and then branch out. I think Jaden's probably a little bit better structure now, but does both. I expect both of them to be stars and franchise quarterbacks in the league, but you're going to have to build around them. And I think both of these teams will be better, not only at that position, but on both sides of the ball this year.
Yeah, I agree with that statement for sure. Okay, Sean, let's go back to the 49er wide receiver room because I got a couple questions, especially because you were saying as a quarterback, no big deal if a receiver comes in kind of late. What if that receiver is a rookie, though? Like Ricky Pearsall's injuries and how they've sort of stunted camp, what does that mean for his development?
Now, that's a big difference now because you're that guy that you've never worked with, right? Now, and it's not even just the physical part for me, Mark, that goes on. It's the mental part of just going through it when you're not out there and you're not doing those things. I understand meetings and playbooks, but I like having them around. It is a major difference from a veteran to a rookie, simply because I know nothing about him other than what you saw on tape. I'm talking about if you're Brock Purdy or if you're a member of that offensive staff. And so you go through you know, those things in training camp, walk through them. And those are the times you're talking with each other on the field. Oh, this happened. Let's do this. So, yeah, it's a big difference. And you're coming off, you know, you're banged up and don't get the work. So you got to do double time when the work when you can do the work. So that is a much different than watching IU and Purdy the last 2 years do their thing. They're just getting to know each other. The mental side, they are getting to know, but not enough work on the field. So that's going to be the part. That's going to be the part of playing catch up. So yes, that's much deeper. Younger players and guys who haven't been in the league longer, or new players that haven't been with you, that's where more of the stress comes in, not with a veteran who's performed and knows what Brock Purdy's all about.
Okay, now what about the guy who has been all over the headlines all summer long? Like, what is your overall take? How good is Brandon Ayuk?
Oh, I think that when the receivers come up in your mind, Mike Evans has been doing it for so long, but Jefferson, Chase, Cooper Kupp's always doing his thing. I mean, those are the names, Tyreek Hill. He's in that, is it fair to say, you know, we got like our quarterbacks. I'm trying to think of the, oh my gosh, top shelf, can't do without. And then just below it, like the 7 and 8 guy, the 6 and 7 guy, I would probably put him there. I think he's probably in the second five if I'm looking at just the overall position. And you've got to overpay to keep good players. And if people in San Francisco think that Ayuk's overpaid. But we're at a time now with all this player, not only empowerment, but with contracts, you can't afford to let the core of your team go. That's why receivers are making what quarterbacks were making, 3 years ago? And yep, more than some are making. So, Mark, I think he's probably just outside the top five and in the next five, however you shuffle him. But he's a big-time player, and he's a perfect player for the San Francisco 49ers and what they do.
The concern I have in this moment in signing him is not his abilities. It's the fact that it may mean the end of Deebo Samuel in San Francisco. Do you think it makes sense for a football team to pay two receivers, you know, north of $25 million
a year? Well, if it ends up with more trophies and more contract extensions for everybody, yeah, but you're exactly right. It's hard to do. It is extremely hard to do when you say, okay, and you go through your meetings, say, we got this much tied up to this position and a little leeway for the Jeffersons and Chases of the world. Realistically, probably not. Selfish, greedy reasons for me and my love for watching the 49ers offense and how much I like Deebo. I'm greedy. I want to pay them both, and if it means overpaying a little, but then you got to start to look at the rest of your roster and with salary cap and where it's going. So, yeah, and Mark, that's a great point by you that a lot of people aren't talking about, of what the collateral damage is with the 49ers when this happens. And they're telling you that as a pure wide receiver that Ayuk is going to be here, what, the next 4 years, and that maybe that Deebo, after they went through this, is going to have to be the one to sacrifice, take the extra punishment from running in the backfield. But I love them both, man. I'm greedy, but regardless, Debo's going to get paid, whether it's in San Francisco or somewhere else, and that time presents itself. But I know where you're going with it. I think you like one better than the other, and the one that you like is going to be up for contract sooner than later.
Yep, that's where I stand at this moment, no doubt about it. What about all of the hype in general, whether it's big-name players, expectations, the near-miss Super Bowl? Is that a problem for the 49ers this year, or do you think they're equipped to handle it?
They've handled plenty of hype plenty of times before, and it doesn't matter what the hype, what part of hype, whether it's quarterback controversies, whether it's expectations, whether it's frustration, all those things that we hear. Listen, they're a lightning rod every year. There's about 5 or 6 teams that are gonna get extra too much pub, too much blame, are gonna get too much attention. It just happens, and 49ers are one of them every year, especially when they're good. And the expectations should be high. And they've gotten close a couple times, and they've come up short. And they're still not where they want to be when it comes to crowning themselves in these last handful of years in February. So I would imagine, judging from the character and the depth of positions on that team, and from the front office and the head coach who's been there, and they've suffered through some difficulties, and with the roster, the core, and when you get Trent back in and they're going, well, there's stars at every position. And I would like to think that they can handle the praise. They can handle also not only the success, but also the failure that goes with it at times when you lose, and all the, not only expectations, but what's going to happen next? What if you get there again? all the what ifs that we go through on our shows and that they go through in the media and in locker rooms. So I would think they're equipped to handle any, quite frankly, any part of the pub and any part of the expectations, because damn, when it comes to expectations, who of people around the country don't still think 49ers, Eagles, you know, the Detroit, Green Bay's on the rise. But when you're talking the top five teams, they're always going to be mentioned when it comes to expectations, and mine are no less this year. Matter of fact, I expect them to be better, because if they can get their guys in, because I think Purdy, another year of experience. You've got a settled Brandon Ayuk. I mean, you've got the Kittles. I mean, they're loaded. So expectations are always going to be there. That can't run and hide from those, my brother. You just got to deal with them. And the team feels, I think they're equipped to do it, because I think they've got some moxie, and we've seen it.
Amen to that. Sean Salisbury with us here on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned maybe a better Purdy. Like, what do you want to see from him that you haven't seen yet?
Well, I think that the more bandwidth, I mean, the bandwidth with him, and I think they're starting to expand it. I think we get this feeling of, well, he can't make all the throws because he's not big and physical. That's wrong. He can. Where he makes up with maybe not have overpowering arm strength or that superstar, when I talk about just freak show ability, he's underrated as a runner. We know his toughness. I just think for me, it's putting himself in more mental and emotional and the that part of the game of understanding where all the conflicts are on a defense. Because a guy like him, who isn't, like I said, if we had a superstars competition, he's not going to win it, but he's going to do everything well. And I'm such a fan, and I love his. You can't question a guy who's the last pick of a draft's toughness and working through a first-round pick right. And finding his way there and doing his thing. So I'm not worried about that with him. I think it's situational football for me of just making sure. Because, Mark, when you're in this, people look at the big physical guy who can make all certain throws on, you know, into a coffee can size window. When I say physically limited, it's not that Brock – I think we underrate his physical skills, but he's not that super, you know, the howitzer arm and all those things. So he's got to stay ahead of the game with knowing where the conflict is even quicker. You listen to Brady talk about what made him great, even aside from some of the obvious tangible ones, was his ability to know the defense pre-snap. And then you execute post-snap. I tell kids that I train all the time this, listen, find the conflict, whether it's in your life or whether it's in a defense. Find the conflict. And when we're looking at defenses, once you know the conflict, the answers to the test are pretty easy if you've prepared. If I give you the SAT test 2 months before the SAT test, then it's on you to make sure doing all that, well, studying the answers to get yourself ready to get a perfect score on it so you can go to any college you want. Same thing here. So for me, it's just the constant development in understanding what coverages are trying to do, not only to Brock Purdy, but also to the 49ers as an offense and their offensive approach. And one last thing, even at Brock, 3 years in the league, MVP candidate, all that, I still continue to spend time with my own defensive coordinator and ask him, how would you defend us? And what's the key? What do you see with me? An hour a week, not just offensive, but defense. Spend it with defensive staff. Because I think there is another level to his game, and it, the fact that he's got great timing and understands that, it's all going to be, once he grasps even more what's going on and how they're trying to stop him and this offense, you get ahead of it and you're out in front of it, and it's you're having great vision, and you know what I mean by vision, but vision being out in front of the next read and the next read and the next defense and week after week and sustaining that, I think there's another level to Brock Purdy's game, and I already hold him in high regard. And we should have expectations for him because he's proven it, but his toughness is not in question, mental or physical.
Sean, you're the best, and we literally did not miss one word.
That makes me happy, my man. You know I love coming on with you, and I get fired up, and you got me. I was thinking college football all week, and I'm like, well, damn, I got these good 49ers. We got the – I mean, we're ready, so – it's this college football now just got in the way of our NFL next week. Right? We'll enjoy it all. And always honored to be on with you, brother.
Dude,
love it.
Thank you so much, and stay safe out there, man.
Appreciate you, man. Anytime.
Okay, there he is. He's the best. Sean Salisbury, live from the driving storm in the middle of nowhere, Texas, sounding absolutely perfect. See? It's almost like
maybe the best his connection has ever been.
It's almost like a Brandon Ayuk contract extension. Sometimes people make it a little bit more complicated than it really is. You just call and you pick up and then you talk and we're good here. We're good. We are absolutely good. All right. Back to you. 888-957-9570. We reboot the phones. Plus, I would like to address one specific Brock Purdy-related tweet that I think is representative of many things that I see as part of this quarterback's conversation right now. And I'll read that to you coming up next. Dibs is out. You're in. It's Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
I mean, if you're asking that question, you don't know the show. You've never been here before. I get it. I'm just an insufferable homer. Thank you very much. Exactly right. And that will be on display once again next week at the 2024 Red and Gold Summit. That's next Wednesday, September 4th. That's coming very soon. It is the day before there's a football game. Oh, I can't wait. The Chiefs play the Ravens in 6 days. 6 days. Who do you have? Any league? Who do you have in that game, Grandy? Anyone? What do you got?
Chiefs Ravens. I don't think I have anybody.
You
actually
got nothing.
I'm only in two leagues, but yeah, I don't have any Chiefs or Ravens.
No Chiefs, no Ravens. Two leagues, and you're all drafted. You're done. All drafts.
Yeah, no, I don't have anyone.
I have one more this weekend. I got the big one. I got the high school buddies.
When are you
weekend.
In? Like eight?
No, four.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of three Sad. And a half. One of them is just, I shouldn't say this because some of them might be listening, but it's just our family draft, and it's very much just for fun. There is money, but it's very little. But that counts, and I think I got Mahomes as my quarterback in that league. I got Lamar in a different league. That's how it is once you do four leagues. There's no games where you don't have somebody.
It's the best.
You got somebody in every game.
And at times you're rooting for one player, but also you're rooting against that same player.
See, I always have a rule. If you have a player and you're going against that player, you root for him.
Yep.
You just root for him. And then
whatever happens.
And then that means that whoever is going against you gets a bunch of points. You got to outscore him with somebody else.
I get in the trap where I'm like, all right, we can middle it right here. You could score 18 points and I can win both my matchups.
One touchdown, not two.
Exactly.
One touchdown.
The matchups, though, week one, specifically the primetime matchups, we know the Thursday night game that you're just talking about, Ravens-Chiefs.
They're incredible.
You talked about Rams-Lions Sunday night. There's also the Friday night game. Packers-Eagles.
Can I ask an out loud question here at the risk of being a big old dummy? Is this true? That game's is it in Brazil or something?
Sao Paulo.
Okay. Is it true that you're not allowed, the NFL's not allowed to play games on American soil on Friday night because of a conflict with high school football? And did they simply circumvent the rule by being like, fine, we'll go to Brazil? Like, will you look that up for me? Someone said that to me, and I was like, that's actually a rule? Like, is it a law? Is it a federal law that you can't play in America on Friday night because of high school games?
In a story from USA Today, it is actually illegal for the NFL to have games on both Fridays and Saturdays during a given week due to the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961.
Okay.
Not sure if that answers the question.
Well, wait a minute, but you're saying you can't do Friday and Saturday.
I read the internet before I figured if it was what we needed or not.
So, but you're saying you could do one or the other. You just can't do both? Is that accurate? Is that what you're saying with
from
that?
From this fact, yes.
Okay. Okay, and there's no Saturday game this week. I mean, they played on Friday last year, the day after Thanksgiving. They get that Black Friday game now. They did that. That was in America, wasn't it?
Okay, here we go.
Or where was
this? This is from a different story. This is CBSSports.com.
Yeah.
Under the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961, the same act that we just cited there,
yes.
The NFL isn't allowed to televise any games on Friday or Saturday from the second weekend in September through the second weekend in December. Those 2 days have been earmarked for high school and college football.
Wait a minute, but what about, there was a game on Black Friday, but it was streaming, wasn't it?
Hmm.
Aha, that's not broadcast. That's streaming. Chess, not checkers. Because pretty soon, none of these games are going to be broadcast.
1961, they had no idea what streaming was.
We need a new Sports Broadcasting Act.
Broadcasting streaming and Streaming Act.
1961 Sports Broadcasting Act forgot about Netflix. Whoops. Yeah. So they've just worked around all of this.
But those games are going to be incredible.
Wait,
they're going to be incredible.
I have more.
By the way, and you I know you meant this, but we didn't even get to the fact that the last primetime game is Niners Jets.
Yeah.
That is eight of the best teams in the NFL head to head in week one. Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, Rams, Packers, Eagles, Niners, Jets. Oh.
Can I give you a different answer to the question that you were asking of how they were able to play on Black Friday?
Yeah.
If you're wondering how the NFL, again, CBSSports.com, appreciate
it. Thank you.
If you're wondering how the NFL was able to play a Black Friday game in 2023, the league also took advantage of a loophole in the broadcasting rules to make that happen. Under the Sports Broadcasting Act, again, of 1961, the great broadcasting act that they wrote back then, the NFL is allowed to schedule a Friday game as long as a substantial portion of the game is over by 6 p.m. local time. Which is why the Dolphins and Jets kicked off at 3 p.m. Eastern on Black Friday in 2023.
Oh, right. And I see here, I dummy thought that that was because they're like, we don't want to go into people's Friday night. It's a holiday. People are going to go out.
Friday Night Lights, baby.
So let's just stick it right there in the middle of the day when people are still like sleeping in and they're stuffed from the night before. And you can roll out of bed, get a leftover turkey sando, and watch Tyreek Hill. But it was actually to fit the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961.
And the Friday night game between the Eagles and the Packers a week from today will only be on Peacock, too.
Streamer.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Boy, that Goodell. He knows how to stay out of court, doesn't he? It's incredible. It is incredible. I had no doubt. Whenever something is going to go into the legal realm with the NFL, I'm like, they'll win. They got the best lawyers. They got the most lawyers. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, but apparently they don't care about high school football in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Is there high school football in Sao Paulo, Brazil?
They just call it football.
That's not football. That's soccer. Anyway. All right, I should read this Brock Purdy tweet that I told you I was going to read. And I see this or a facsimile of it all over the place. And so I want to run it by you guys and see how this grabs you, because I find this to be dripping with misperception. But I get it, because when you watch Brock Purdy walk through a room, I've said it for 2 years now, he looks like a kid on his way home from high school every time. He doesn't even just have a backpack on. He only has it on one shoulder. He he literally looks like he's headed for the fast food joint down the street at lunch every single time you see him. He's got like a modern version of what would be a members only jacket, a pair of jeans and sneaks, an aw shucks smile, and a backpack. Okay, so that leads to a lot of, I think, along with draftism and all the other things we talk about with Brock, that leads to the perceptions. You're not going to pay that guy $60 million. Jordan Love walks into a room, you're like, damn, right? Patrick Mahomes, Herbert, whatever, Burrow, these dudes walk into a room, the speed of Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, you're like, the physical freakish nature of these people, and then Bebop and Brock, you're like, they're not going to give that guy $60 million. But listen to what everyone's saying. Why not? Why wouldn't they? Why would he not ask for that? So here's something that I see everywhere, and I just grabbed one random tweet, and it's from I don't even know who. It doesn't matter, but I see this everywhere. Quote, just my opinion, and I may certainly be wrong on this, but I just don't see Brock Purdy making any crazy contract demands next year. He's got a healthy perspective, and he likely understands the importance of keeping the core of this team together. I think his number will be reasonable.
I saw this same exact tweet.
I'll give credit. It's a feed called 49ers underscore film, whatever the hell that is. Okay, and whoever's behind that, rock on. Rock out with your Brock out. Good to have you on the show. Like, that is so funny to me. And it's dripping with what I will simply call as misperception. I think there's some other isms that are neighboring this tweet, because you all think the Debos and the Brandons of the world, oh, and the Trents, and even the Boses, right? These big physical freaks, whatever, they got personality, they got swag. So you're like, oh, they're going to come in and make demands and be unreasonable. But over there, there's little corn-fed Brock. He just came over, like your daughter just brought him home from school and he asked for a peanut butter sandwich. He would never do anything mean. Brock would never, like, ask for money. Brock doesn't even really care if you pay him at all. Brock just wants to be there. He's thrilled that this unbelievable opportunity has accidentally fallen in his lap. He's so grateful. Hell, they might want to ask him if he'd play for free. He might do it. Because Brock, he's wholesome, middle America, and he wants his teammates to all stay together and go on a camping trip at the end of the year.
Possibly.
He'll bring the tents and a thermos. Dude gonna get 60 flipping million, and he has an agent and everything. That's what I think's about to happen.
And if there is ever a guy who, I don't know, need is the right word, but is deserving to every single dollar that he could possibly get, it's the guy who was the last overall pick in the draft and has been making nothing his entire career while he's played an NFC Championship game. Sorry, two NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl.
That's a great point.
Like if he was a first-round pick, yes, and was already making millions of dollars a year, one, he still wouldn't do it, but two, you'd be like, you've already got a lot of money in the bank account, Brock.
Like, what did Trevor Lawrence and Jordan Love already make before? They both just got 55 a year, and I love the point that Peter King made to us earlier, which is that Trevor Lawrence, he's like, that's the one you got to watch out for. If Trevor Lawrence, like so many of you have been saying all summer long, well, Amon-Ra, why wouldn't Brandon ask for it? If Trevor Lawrence is worth $55 million a year, Brock is worth $75 million a year. Trevor Lawrence, He can't win a division that was filled with rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, and so the contract that Trevor Lawrence signed out of college after being the first round pick, first overall
Number one overall.
4 years, $36.7 million. Brock Purdy, after being Mr. Irrelevant, 4 years, $3.7 million.
So Trevor walked into the negotiation because I'm sure, especially locally, I'm sure plenty of off-the-field opportunities. Trevor walks into these negotiations already having made about $50 million, I would guess, in his career. He walks in, he gets 5 years and $275 million. Brock has now been to two NFC title games. Another year's about to unfold, and you're telling me he's just starting on his third million in his career.
Yep. Probably made more on endorsements at this stage of his career.
There's no question. But I'm sure he won't ask for more because he's a nice guy.
There's also a part of this conversation that, and I'm not saying this was the intention of whoever it was that was behind that Niners account that tweeted it.
No, I see it everywhere.
You're right. But part of it also is, I don't know if it's an active belief or if it's something that is in the back of your head. Part of the reason why people think that maybe Brock would be willing to take less is because maybe he feels like he needs all of his all-pro teammates around him, and maybe they feel like he's not good enough without those guys. And if you take all this money, guess what, Brock? Say bye-bye to Debo. Say bye-bye to Kittle. Say bye-bye to whoever. And then you're going to have to do it yourself. There's a decent amount of football fans out there who feel like if this happens, Brock gets $65 million, we're going to find out who he really is.
Okay, very, very fair point. How about this? Have you seen anything in watching Brock Purdy for now a season and a half that suggests that actually on the inside, the man lacks confidence?
No.
So is this guy going to be like, yeah, like I'm only good because I have good teammates?
Absolutely not.
And even if he did think that, which he doesn't, the external pressures in a situation like that, from having an agent, from having a players union, from being in a locker room with tens of teammates throughout the years, like, you really think that Brock is just going to be like, guys, I'm not worth all that. Like, that's for all of the other players in the league. Like, that's not me.
And let's just pretend for a second that even if Brock did even just have an inkling of that feeling, thinking like, you know, I'm in an awesome spot.
Sure.
I know I'm good enough, but, you know, obviously everyone is better when you have great talent around you. Let's take a little bit less. What is his agent going to tell him?
Well, and by the way, what is a little bit less?
Yeah, is it 55 instead of 65?
Yeah, like 55 is where the market is right now, but it goes up every year. I don't know what other quarterbacks are even coming up next year. Who else is going to be in the conversation?
There's been so many recently. I don't even know.
There's a Dak. Like Dak. Dak is one of them.
I think we went through this a couple weeks ago. I think it's just about Dak, and that's it.
Is that it? I mean, like, there's Dak, and if he goes out and puts up the same numbers that he did last year, he's going to be in the well north of 50 gang easily. Jared Goff already got 52. I'm just looking through the board right now. It's Dak. And Tua got his. Tua's up over 50. I mean, I feel like it's going to circle back to Patrick and Josh again pretty soon. But whatever it is, the discount might be 54, 55, 56. Yeah. If Brock did think to himself, well, geez, I'd like to, you know, like, what if they win the Super Bowl? I'd like for us, you know, I want to help the team out. Tom Brady did it. Like, let's structure it in such of a sort of way. Yeah, that's the discount. So instead of 60, it's 55.
He also didn't do that on his first big contract.
Who didn't?
Brady. He did it down the road.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
He did it when he was like 34 years old instead of when he was 24 years old.
Plus, by the way, 8 games into this man's career, his arm flew off of his body. And and he was doing that for $800,000. Like, he was immediately incredibly aware of his vulnerability as a human being on a football field. You have got, And you got to get every single dollar. And that's why my starting point all summer long is support of these players. Absolute support of these players. It's only when you're offered everything that you ask for and you keep saying no that you're going to make me mad.
Well, yeah, you're bringing it back to Ayuk. Yes. But what I brought up, like, even if Brock has an inkling of that thought in the back of his head where he'd maybe be willing to take a little bit less, and ultimately it's the players, you know, they have the final say so in all of this stuff. They can tell their agent to, you know, screw off, like, sure, I'm going to sign this no matter what you say. But Brock Purdy approaches a negotiation and says, you know what? Yeah, I'm willing to take 10 mil less a year. Let's get this done. His agent is going to make sure that he goes through every single possible outcome and permutation, make sure he doesn't want to go that way. He's going to get pressure from his family, from his friends. It's part of the reason why I give Brandon Ayuk the benefit of the doubt through all of this. Obviously, it's ultimately up to the player to decide.
Yep.
But you don't know what his agent is telling him in one ear. You don't know what his family, what his friends, what his girlfriend is telling him through everything. You're listening to so many different things that even if what you want maybe is taking less and you ultimately sign for, you don't really know exactly where the final destination is coming from. It might not be the player itself.
A lot of voices. We all hear them, no doubt. Tom in Sonoma joins the conversation. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, Mark, thanks for taking my call, man. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Hey, I think there's another thing on the table here, man, that you guys aren't talking about. He's making $800,000 a year this year. What if he wins the Super Bowl this year? That right there, to me, is going to send the amount of money he's going to want even more astronomical. And remember, life expectancy of play, what, 3 to 6 years? He's got to get his money now, man. You don't know what's going to happen down the road.
No.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely, Tom. Absolutely. By the way, I don't think him winning the Super Bowl would affect this one bit. I think if he comes near it, I think if it's just a playoff run, I think if it's another 30 touchdowns and 12 picks or something like that, that's all it takes. Trevor Lawrence has one playoff win in his life, didn't even make the playoffs last year, broke him off 55.
Justin Herbert doesn't have a playoff win. He got $262 million over 5 years.
All you have to do is just show yourself as a franchise quarterback and then be next in line. If this goes anywhere near where the last 2 years have gone, Brock will get the biggest contract in the history of the league. I have no doubt about it. And yeah, what is he making this year? This year it's $985. It's still not up to $1 million.
And next year he'll be making 1.1.
1.1.
And then the big one will kick in.
He's so cute. Does he have dimples? He should have dimples. I think he should have dimples. And then he would not ask for more money. He just wants to be a part of the team. Maybe Brock can bring lunch to the Christmas party, because I really think that that's all he's after.
He brings snacks to the team for
totally
every practice.
Snacks. The orange slices for halftime, that's Brock.
The little chewy bars.
Yes. And his mom. And his new wife. And they all seem so reasonable. All of them. So, all right. 888-957-9570, presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. There's some things that Brian Baldinger said earlier that you need to hear, something TJ Houshmandzadeh said to us a while ago you need to hear, and our conversation with Peter King that was great earlier today. We'll have that around the bend as well on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.